You have arrived at your destination.
That's right, Wildlings. You have arrived at your destination. It's the Sean versus Wild podcast, and it's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. It's me, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And guys, April is upon us already. And if you're a wrestling fan, you know what that means. It means it's WrestleMania week. And here at the Smithsonian, we are celebrating. I'm going to give you not one, but two wrestling-related podcasts this week. We're taking a break from the normal interview format to talk about WWE WrestleMania and NXT TakeOver. I'm talking to Jake Hillman from Never Nervous. We're doing a little cross-promotion, making some stuff happen. You guys remember the Never Nervous Network from back in the day? Well, I am joining forces with Jake and Never Nervous to talk about, again, WrestleMania and TakeOver, and I'm hitting you with two episodes. So if you are a wrestling fan, welcome to the show. This might be the most relevant podcast for you, the best week in podcast history for you. And if you're not a wrestling fan, I'm sorry, we're going back to the normal interview format next week, so bear with me. But yeah, guys, it's so great to talk to you. Hopefully you guys had a great weekend. I had an awesome weekend. Went to Comic-Con up in Indianapolis and just had an absolutely fantastic time. Next week's episodes, I'm going to be playing you some of the stuff that I had recorded and some of the awesome celebrities that I got to talk to and chat with. Most specifically, I got to give a shout out to one of the most glamorous actresses, in my opinion, of all time. Grew up loving Sean Young and got to meet her, got to have an autograph, got to, you know, have a nice lengthy conversation, you know, with her about all kinds of different topics. She's from Louisville also, so fellow Louisvillian, two Sean's from Louisville, getting wild. And yeah, so she was really awesome. Got to give a big shout out to her. Also got to meet Tim Jacobus this weekend. And if you're not familiar with his work, that's the guy that illustrates and paints all of the Goosebump book covers. You guys know I love my Goosebump books from back in the day. You guys know I got a good Goosebump book collection going on if you check out my Instagram. But yeah, got to meet Tim Jacobus, got his autograph, got to chat with him, and you know, got to send out the information to both of them. So I'm hopeful that maybe one day in Sean versus Wild history, you'll hear a great conversation with both Sean Young or Tim Jacobus talking about some great things. And that hopefully will just be a few of many. So I'm out there making moves, passing out flyers. If you guys heard about the show from Comic-Con this weekend, welcome. I definitely appreciate you stopping by and checking it out. If you guys are a return listener, thanks so much for your continued support each and every week. I could not do the show without you. And also, I cannot do the show without my amazing sponsors. I'm talking about Audible. Audible is an Amazon company. They have over 180,000 audiobooks for you to choose from. And if you're an audiobook fan like me, you're going to definitely want to sign up for your free 30-day trial. And Audible's going to give one to you just for listening to Sean versus Wild. All you have to do is go to www.audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Sign up for your free 30-day and choose your audiobook. Give it a listen. If you like it, awesome. Keep the ball rolling. But if you feel like audiobooks and an Audible membership isn't for you, you can cancel at any time. NBD, no big deal. And you also get to keep your audiobook pretty tight. Also want to give a big shout out to Audiophile Inc., my OG sponsor. Shane at Audiophile has been printing all my merchandise for years and years and years. And that includes all my past band merchandise. That includes all of the current Sean versus Wild merchandise. And he can do the same for you. All you have to do is go to audiophileinc.com and check that out. AudioPhileInc.com. Tell them the Wild Man sent you. Big thanks to Joe Brock, of course, for booping the dials. Booping 2X the dials this week. So this is a two-parter, and they're both coming out because it is WrestleMania week. And I will tell you, podcast comes out today, Tuesday, as always, and then part two will be out Thursday morning. Okay, it's a scheduled thing between me and Never Nervous, set in stone. So part one today, part two on Thursday. Check it out, and then we're going to be back to our normal interview format next week. I'm chatting with Oxymorons, a hip-hop band out of Queens, New York, and you're definitely not going to want to miss that. If you haven't checked them out, do so right now. Their new single, Brunch, is out right now, and they are amazing. But I'll tell you what, guys, I have a lot to talk about. Like I said, this is going to be a two-parter. I'm going to hit you with both intros, or both episodes worth of intros, basically, on this one. And then let's go ahead and get to work. I've already talked enough. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get wild.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a taste of it a little earlier on here on Saturday night's main event when the madness met the mania. I am talking about Macho Madness and Hulkamania, two mega powers beating here tonight. Hulk Hogan, what is happening?
Well, you know me, Gene, we really don't know what we're dealing with here, man. And I'm just kind of a little worried about locking up here.
It's all right.
Because we just might blow the whole planet up, you know. Everybody knows that Hulkamania is the strongest force in this universe. But when I hit that ring and I saw what the madness was all about, I realized there was a whole nother universe out there, a whole nother frontier, and the power of the madness and the mania just blew my 24-inch guns out, man.
You mean to tell me there is another solar system, Macho Man?
Unbelievable. I'm still in a state of shock right now.
In fact, I don't think I'm going to be coming down for a long period of time.
Yeah, reckless abandon is what I used to be, yeah.
But Elizabeth opened up my eyes, and the big man right here, the big man, yeah, he endorsed Macho Madness, and he gave me direction,
yeah.
Reckless abandon used to be, but direction now with the mega, yeah, the mega, yeah, the mega powers,
yeah. Mega powers, yeah.
I feel the power now. I feel the power right there, big man.
Sure, it
wasn't
a hit over the head, Macho Man.
Oh, no, man. I'm all right.
I've never been better, yeah. Don't you worry about the hit over the head, man. I'm just worried about where we're going from here. Is it this stratosphere, man? Is it the ionosphere with the madness and the mania as one guiding force? We could go ahead and take the whole
I cannot believe this.
No, Saturday,
all that has happened here on Saturday night. Night's main event, the Mega Powers, the Madness, Macho Man Randy Savage, and the heavyweight champion and Hulkamania.
All right, Wildlings, this is Sean.
And this is Jake.
And of course, you're listening to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. The Never
The Sean vs. Dude, what are we doing
this
here?
This is getting ridiculous here, brother.
We got to come up with something.
Brother, I think... I don't know if they're ready for it. We could take over the whole podcasting universe.
Wait, I think I know where you're going here.
I think maybe it's time for the nervous to meet the wild and form an organization, brother.
Some kind of mega
NWO style, baby.
Nervous wild organization.
Yes, we can take our powers and maybe combine them into one force, brother.
I don't know if something like that were to happen, it might blow my 24-inch pythons right out,
brother. Oh my god, yeah, brother.
Oh, but it's all right.
It's all right. That's what happens when the madness meets the mania.
The madness and the it once was reckless abandon. Now it's direction.
Yeah, Miss Elizabeth. Guys, that's a little banter for you guys. This is a nice joint effort between Jake and myself. We are going to do a Never Nervous and Sean versus Wild crossover episode this week.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to be talking about one of our absolute favorite things, maybe one of my favorite, maybe my absolute favorite thing.
I look forward to every year more than almost anything.
That's right. We're talking about pro wrestling, and we're talking specifically about WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania week. It's WrestleMania season. It's in the air, brother.
It's in the air, brother.
Dude, on the poster, who would you be, Macho Man or Hulk Hogan?
I think I might be Macho Man.
Yeah, definitely. I would say Hulk Hogan and I share a very similar hair consistency on the top, and you have a beard.
Well, you're right then. That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
I was thinking of dyeing my hair bleach blonde, though, and getting it super tan.
Yeah.
So
I think you should do that. There's nothing more pro wrestler, especially in that late 80s, early 90s.
That's the most.
It's like, hey, I just bleached my hair blonde, but the beard, it's brown.
It's like, what look are you going for? I don't know, the nature boy?
I'm looking for a golden lion type of feel. I want to look like Ted DiBiase or like Michael Ted PSAs.
Ted DiBiase, that was a look, dude. He had a look. When he was in his trunks and he was all oiled up and had the hair like perfectly in shape,
I mean, I don't even know how to describe that.
DiBiase always, to me, really did look like a lion or like a golden bear or something of some sort. And I remember being a kid just thinking, like, how come his hair and his beard are like two different colors? And now that I'm an adult, I realize that happens all the time when people actually, like, you know, will just grow a red beard, but your hair will be like, you know, blonde.
Yeah, what's up with that, though?
But, you know, I'm sure the Million Dollar Man maybe had some chemical treatment.
I mean,
to his hair.
Paid for that, obviously.
Yeah, he paid out the yin yang. That's why his looked so much better, I think, than anybody else's.
You know, and we should say we're recording this on a Thursday night, correct? Today's Thursday?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I've been working with Phil on this article. By the time this comes out, we're going to probably know who the University of Louisville basketball coach is.
Yeah.
But we're doing this article where we're deciding the best pro wrestling managers of all time that could be the coach of University of Louisville. One of them is the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah,
because, I mean, obviously, he could just could recruit whoever he wants.
Everybody's got a price.
It's just exactly dropping bags.
Everyone's going to pay because I'm the Million Dollar Man. And you will be bought.
How great would that be, though? I'd love it. That's the laugh.
Dude, the laugh. Dude, I watched a clip not too long ago because, you know, Hall of Fame, Wrestling Hall of Fame, that's also coming up here.
Oh, man, you're going to make me tear up.
But when Million Dollar Man got accepted into the Hall of Fame, I mean, he gave a great speech. You know how he's very humble now. He's very into his religion now. Mm-hmm. He's just all around seems like a great dude.
For sure.
And then, like, he does the laugh, and then they just rain down money.
Oh, wow. From the I've never top seen of the that roof. One. That's great.
And boy, what an amazing send off.
Yeah.
Or induction, I should say.
He, you know, like in the early 2000s, late 90s or whatever, he had some heat with the organization because he didn't like the raunchy stuff they were doing.
Sure.
And I was like, man, screw that guy. I hate Million Dollar Man. But now I'm like, nah, he was right when I go back and watch it.
You know, there's nothing better than when it'll just be like, you'll watch wrestling in like 1997 and they'll just be like a big sign. So go back on the WWE Network and they don't really edit it out or anything, but it'll just be like, Gold Dust sucks dick, you know, or something. And you're like, damn, dude, like signs now are just more like, you know, go John Cena.
Yeah. I like this guy.
Yeah. The other one will just be like, fuck Bret Hart, you know? And you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This is on the USA Network.
Yeah. And then, like, especially after in the early 2000s when they just started bleeding every match and like, it's just so unnecessary.
I feel like we need to get some color here, bro. Yeah.
You know what'll really take this to the next level?
Yeah. Dude, we got to really, the Godwins are going against the Headbangers, dude. We better put some color in this.
It'll make it mean more, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Because, dude, when they slop, you know, when they slop mosh, dude, it's going to be on.
That's the color I like. I like the slop.
The slop color. I'm so glad that we're sitting down, not only to do a crossover episode, but it's been long overdue for me to have a wrestling-themed podcast on Sean versus Wild. Have you had any on Never Nervous?
I think only when you came on and we debated Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels
and then
for a while.
It turned into a wrestling podcast?
Yeah.
I feel that.
But, you know, we're trying to focus more on wrestling recently. I've been writing about Jim Cornette and Al Snow and stuff. So
yeah, that Al Snow article. Guys, if you are a wrestling fan, you need to go to nevernervous.com and you need to check out the article that Jake wrote. Got to hang out with Al Snow.
Yeah, I had lunch at Taco Luchador with Al Snow.
How fitting. Taco Luchador.
It's amazing, man. It was funny, too, because it was like almost exactly 20 years from the time I dressed up as Al Snow for Halloween.
Dude.
There's a picture of it in the article, of course.
I can't believe you dressed up. I've only dressed up as Hulk Hogan, and that was whenever I was young.
I mean, really, what kind of nerd am I to be like, I'm going to be somebody that nobody knows?
You know, I'm going to be probably the leader of the job squad, I think, for Halloween this year.
You know what's funny, though? Shout out to my friend Jason Saint, who's like an indie wrestling manager. If you're a wrestling fan, you probably know who he is, but he sent me a picture. He read my article, and he sent me a picture last night of him the same year as me. He dressed up as Al Snow as well for Halloween. How weird is that?
That is insanely weird, but I guess it makes sense because Al Snow was pretty darn over.
He was, especially if you watched ECW.
Yeah, right. You know, exactly. So. I like to use, you ever notice like on wrestling podcasts when you just get like civilians on and they'll be like, yeah, he's really over. And they use like a bunch of like technical terms.
Well, that was something that was fun about writing that Al Snow article was I was trying to put in the definitions for those things when I was using them in the article, because I have to write for the general public.
Right.
The general not cool public that doesn't watch wrestling or listen to wrestling podcasts all day.
Well, brother. Brother just means guy, friend, chum, pal, sport. You got to call him brother. And over means you're really popular.
I heard a new one on the Bruce Pritchard's podcast the other day. They use boo-boo face. Have you ever heard that?
No.
I guess boo-boo face is when a wrestler's like pouting about something. I don't know. It's like a well-used wrestling term.
Wow. Yeah. The wrestling lingo...
cracks me up.
Yeah, the glossary of terms just grows every day.
I think that's originally what got me back into wrestling, when I realized there was like a whole different language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when I first got... because I was out of wrestling for probably 10 years at least. And Daniel Bryan was part of what got me back in, which we need to talk about.
Absolutely.
But once I started seeing like the podcast and seeing people use that language, I was like, wow, this is a whole thing I didn't even know about.
Let me ask you, when did you watch wrestling? Like, what years did you watch wrestling? When did you fall out? And when did you start back up? And what was the reason? What are the reasons why you started watching it? What is the reason why you stopped watching it? And what's the reason why you started watching it again?
I would say I started watching probably like 89 or 90, but I was so young, it was like hard to remember, you know, exactly what I was seeing and stuff. But I remember some of that stuff when I go back and watch it on the network. Why did I start watching it? I think I had a great-grandparent that was into wrestling.
Yep.
And like I had these like VHS tapes of Saturday morning wrestling he would give me and stuff. I still have some of them, and they'll have like Stunning Steve Austin on it and
stuff amazing.
Like that. Yeah. So I would say that's probably why I got into it. I was really, of course, into it in the Attitude Era. This is really funny. I was so into it during the Attitude Era that when I got in trouble, like at school or whatever, my dad would ground me from watching wrestling.
Oh,
like that was the worst punishment.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I could have. Hello.
Whoa, dude.
But, and then I got out.
It's Y2J, man.
I know, really. Well, I got out probably around right after Y2J, like. I was going into freshman year of high school. I was thinking about this the other day. I was going freshman year into high school, and I was like, I can't be a wrestling fan in high school. Like,
really? So you got out that early?
Yeah.
Well, I started watching it much 89, 90. My mom liked wrestling. Her friends liked wrestling. That they'd always go to wrestling on Tuesday nights. But my grandmother loved wrestling, and my great-grandfather loved wrestling. And it's so funny because he was just like that older guy in the front row, like screaming until he was hoarse at wrestlers. Like that was my great grandpa Everett. And that's what he would do. And wrestling was kind of like a family thing. My sister liked it.
See, that's my family like made fun of me.
Really?
Yeah. They were like, why do you watch that?
And then whenever Attitude Era came in, I remember like my mom and me and my grandmother, we would just get together, and rent it off satellite, you know, do the pay-per-view satellite and get together. And my grandmother always hated Chris Jericho. If I ever meet Chris Jericho, I want to tell him that story because my grandmother hated him, and she hated the way he walked, which I think is hilarious. And if you go back and watch Chris Jericho walk, he's got a very like kind of strange walk, but he just hated.
I'm trying to think of it now. I guess he did strut.
We'll watch some of the clips, bro. Yeah. But that was, that's like, Attitude Era I liked, and I liked it into high school, but I think maybe my junior, senior year, it started falling out for me.
So like 2003-ish?
Yeah, and it's basically the aftermath. You know, like the Attitude Era was so, so hot.
Yeah.
But then for some reason, the aftermath, like after like The Rock and Stone Cold were gone.
After like WCW was gone too, like they had all this great talent, and I watch it now and I'm like, wow, every match on this card is stacked. Right. But I don't care about any of these plots, like anything that's going on. The matches are great, but man, it's some of the dumbest. The Vince McMahon's just being a total perv creep on people, and it's just really awkward to watch.
Yeah, I'd be like, Vince McMahon better make out with Trish.
Yeah, it's like in front of his wife and stuff. You know, it's like, what is going on?
And
Vince dropping the N-bomb.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
On Booker T on like an episode of Raw. I was like, dude.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Guys, maybe you shouldn't watch wrestling.
No, really.
But I would say like around the time, and it's kind of weird too because they're great performers, but like around the time that it was like Brock Lesnar, for the layman out there, Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, and Benoit, like when they were, and JBL, basically all that era.
Yeah,
when John Cena came in to wrestling, I was, that's really when I was totally done.
It got super cheesy, man. It got really, really cheesy.
And so we basically, I guess, stopped at the same time. When did you start?
When did I start back? I started back, I started hearing words about CM Punk. I knew about CM Punk from, I think when they brought back ECW, mm-hmm. I watched for a little bit and I was like, wow, this is not ECW at all.
Right. this is the exact opposite. Great.
Yeah, exactly. You guys aren't even trying, but, you know, so
Mark Henry, ECW champion.
Yeah. Big Show. Right. Big Show in a Singapore cane match. Like, what is going on? There were so many Singapore cane matches when they brought back ECW. So, you know, I stopped watching, but I knew who CM Punk was. And once I guess word got to me about the pipe bomb promo he did. And then I read a article in Grantland hyping up Daniel Bryan from Dave Shoemaker, mm-hmm. David Shoemaker. And I don't know. I just read about Daniel Bryan. I connected with his story. And that's seriously what just like I turned it on one night. Miranda and I, my wife Miranda, started laughing about it, and then we've been watching every week ever since.
Yeah, well, I got into it because you know, around the time that was happening, I was still not watching it, but I was on Warped Tour, and somebody was telling me, "Oh, hey, like it's good again. You got to check it out." Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I might check it out." So this is 2014, and I was like, "Yeah, I might check it out. I don't know." And he's like, "Here, here's my network password and username. Mm-hmm. Just go home, watch it. We'll talk about it."
Oh, so you weren't watching it before the network?
No.
Oh man!
But I was excited. I had heard about the network and I was reading about it, and I thought, "Well, maybe this is something that would be good for me because I just loved the old stuff." Mm-hmm. And when I heard that the old stuff and the old pay per views are going to be on there, I was like, "Yeah, this is probably something that I'll check out anyway."
What was the first thing you checked out on the network?
The first thing that I actually watched on the network was I saw SummerSlam 2014, and I made fun of, because it was on that day, like the day I'd got home. It was like I had just got home from tour and everything, and my roommate Evan was actually like, "Well, hey man, you got the network. Why don't we sit down and watch it? Because we used to watch it on Attitude Era." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, I guess we'll check it out." And then I watched it, and you know, I was kind of like laughing at a lot of the stuff. Like I was like, there's this wrestler named Paige and her finisher is called the Rampage, you know? And I thought that was hilarious. And then I was like, no shit. Like I remember texting my friend Chris and I was like, she literally did a move called, get this, the Paige Turner. And so we were just laughing about it, you know, wrestling and stuff. And then that kind of got it on his radar too. And then Total Divas had just come out on E, mm-hmm. as well. And so he had been going back and he had gotten a network username and password. And so him and his significant other, you know, he would show her wrestling, and then he would like be like, "Well, these are the people that are on wrestling," and showed her Total Divas and stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then I would come over there and we'd watch like Total Divas, and then we'd watch some wrestling.
Total Divas is actually a pretty good show.
It was a good way to kind of get me back into it, because yeah. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm watching this reality show. I don't know anybody in new wrestling. I'm not super into new wrestling, but I'm like, oh, this person was on it. Like Brie Bella.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Brie Bella was on SummerSlam and Nikki Bella was there and she fought, you know, Stephanie McMahon or whatever. But then also too, you know, John Cena's on there, and then Jimmy Uso's on there, and a few other people. And that's kind of like how I got back into it. But also too, CM Punk had already left by the time that I had watched it. But the name CM Punk, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I know CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Because CM Punk and Chris Hero fought at IWA Arena every fucking weekend.
So did you?
Whenever I was growing up.
Did you? Oh yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. Were you watching, keeping up with any of the indie stuff in between at all? Because I didn't even know about ROH. Or any of that stuff.
I had heard.
I didn't even know
IWA
was still going on around here for the longest time.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was still going on either. But see, I was raised in Charlestown, born and raised, brother.
Born and raised
in Charlestown, and that's where IWA was running shows for like a super long time.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you'd go there, you and your friends would go there, get dropped off for good, clean wrestling fun on a Friday night. Surprise, mom and dad! People were bleeding hepatitis all over the place. But yeah, but CM Punk and Chris Hero, you know, I'd see them wrestle all the time. But as far as the independent stuff, I had heard of Ring of Honor, but I didn't know anybody that was in it. I knew TNA was a thing. I had tried watching a little bit of that. Wasn't into that ring.
So bad.
And
I can't watch TNA, any of it. I can't take any of it, dude.
You know, honestly, TNA, I keep going back to trying to watch it, and it's not good. The only thing good that they've ever done was the deletion, the final deletion.
Oh, yeah, but that's Matt Hardy. And right. then they did it even better on Raw this week. Well, not better. It wasn't better.
They did it pretty awesome.
They
though.
Did it awesome.
They did good justice to it. You
My
know?
Favorite part was the chair of wheels, yes. mower of lawns.
Mower of lawns. That was the best part.
Yeah. But I got a funny first day of network story because I was like, you know, it was like huge anticipation for
right.
me because I'd been like, I would say at that point, I'd probably been hard into wrestling for like a year and a half.
I've been hard for a year.
I'd never saw a doctor.
But that's what the network does to you.
But, you know, I was way into wrestling for like a year and a half at that point. And so the day I was like counting down the minutes until I could just like get the network up on my internet or whatever. And then they release it. I try to get it to work. It won't load a show. I'm trying to watch, what was it, King of the Ring 98, where they did the Hell in a Cell Mankind. Was it King of the Ring?
Yeah, King of the Ring, yes.
Yeah. I gotta say, well, yeah, anyways.
Where you got to see one grown man throw another grown man off of like yes. a 20-foot structure into a table. Of course, you wanted, that's the first thing I
that
want to see.
That was the first thing I was looking for. So it wouldn't work all day. I was like fucking freaked out. I was, you know, checking the FAQs and like calling people. You couldn't get anywhere because it was so busy. And then like it was probably 10 hours into the day trying to get it to work. And I tried it on Safari instead of Google Chrome and it came up immediately.
Oh man.
So I missed out on 10 hours of watching the network.
Dude, trying so hard. But dude, I got so into it again really quickly though. Like after I watched SummerSlam and then I showed Chris SummerSlam and we were kind of just talking about it and we were talking about some of the things that we liked and what we didn't like and you know, whatever. And then wrestling's like one of those things where it might be hard to jump into, but after a few weeks you kind of
you're in it.
They wear their characters on their sleeve for the most part. Yeah. So you figure out who people are and all that and so yeah, and I've just loved it ever since. I think it's great.
Yeah, at first I think when I was getting back into it, it's hard for me to get past like the suspension of disbelief for some of the just really stupid stuff.
Right.
But then when I like when you're able to just laugh at it and have a good time and just say I don't care, this is like what I do for fun.
Right, exactly. You know? And for anybody that might be listening, I don't know why you're probably still listening if you're not into wrestling. Maybe you want to get into it. I don't know. But you know, Max Landis has a little fun YouTube short called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. And I would recommend anybody check
Triple
it
H?
Out. It's the story of Triple H.
Wow, it's amazing.
And it's funny, a lot of different celebrities and little cameos in it. But he makes such a good point about wrestling where they're like, dude, wrestling is everything but wrestling. And it has more in common with something like Game of Thrones.
It's kind of like Walking Dead isn't about zombies.
Right, exactly.
You know,
it's just a show. And there's acrobatics, and there's people that have these gimmicks, and they're not them. They're playing characters that don't even really represent themselves for a lot of the, you know, a lot of times. I mean, you can see, you know, a character like The Undertaker fight, you know, a professional ballroom dancer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a character like Fandango who teams with Tyler Breeze, who's a male model.
But there's also, like, if you're a musician, for me, this is something I talked to Al Snow about. A big part of what I like about wrestling is the way they're able to control the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's, like, one of the biggest parts of wrestling is, like, you are trying to make that crowd freak out in whatever way you want them to freak out. If you want them to be angry at you, they're able to make them, you know, for the most part they try, they're able to make an entire crowd pissed off at them. Like that's amazing.
And some of the dynamic too is like they'll come out with a character and they'll think this is going to be the best good guy ever and people just hate them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like some a character, you know, like Roman Reigns, they're trying so hard to make him be like the next, you know, The Rock.
Or what about a great example is, well, The Rock's a great example, but remember when New Day first came out?
Yeah, and they wanted New Day to be like the most like good guy trio. Yeah. And they kind of had like a gimmick of like three like Baptist, like they just kind of like three Baptist preachers
just
or something.
Just like preaching positivity.
Oh, it's a New Day. Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's all about, positivity and, you know, they're doing their dances.
Then they
and
ended up being like one of the best heel bad guy tag teams. You know, that there were for a while, and then
And now they're one of the greatest good guy tag teams.
What,
again,
I mean, if you don't watch wrestling, here's what usually happens is if you're really good at being a bad guy, everybody just loves you for being such a good bad guy.
Exactly.
So then you're a good guy.
So, yes. Let me give you an example, too, of just how great wrestling is. You brought up New Day. So New Day starts out as a three-man team of like almost like Baptist preacher style, like preaching positivity. And then they like clown on people so hard and cheat and do all this bad guy stuff. They become like the craziest bad guys and people love them. And then now their gimmick is they do like they have unicorn horns. They have Bootio's cereal.
They play trombone and throw pancakes.
Yeah, exactly.
<It's so> stupid.
But people love it, me included.
Yeah, I love it too. They're and great.
It's so great too. One of the big things that I love about wrestling is you just see the characters go on and on and on.
They grow. That's what that wrestling isn't wrestling thing is. The best part about it is like Triple H has a 20-year story arc or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, 30 years. And it's still going. Like, he's about to, like, own the company, basically.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so imagine, you know, if you like Friends and you like Chandler for 10 years, well, imagine seeing what Chandler's been up to this whole time since the show is over with, you know?
Both on the show and in his real personal life, you
exactly.
know? It's insane.
And so wrestling, big, it's hot right now, guys. So I suggest if you haven't checked it out, check it out. But enough of the preamble here.
Yeah, we've been
just
rambling.
Kinda, we've been rambling. But yeah, it is WrestleMania season.
I mean,
it is WrestleMania
week.
Let's
just go ahead and say
WrestleMania month.
Daniel Bryan getting cleared.
Yes.
Is the thing to talk about.
Let's go ahead and take it right off the top,
guys.
Let's
Daniel
bury the lead. Bryan, the American Dragon. Is back.
Oh, well, let me tell you my theory and get your reaction, because I've been pumping you up about this all day.
All right, dude. Well, guys, all you need to know is the American Dragon, Daniel Bryan, is back.
Yeah. Okay, so he's back.
After 3, you know, years of being retired for concussions, they finally cleared him just in time because his contract was running out. And boy, New Japan is drawing big business over the past year.
Okay, so storyline. Daniel Bryan has to fire Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn Tuesday night on SmackDown, right?
Okay.
And they beat the living hell out of him. We're all expecting this tag match with Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. May not happen, but that's logical. Whatever.
Probably what's going to happen.
Well, today, Kevin Owens changes his Twitter to Kevin Steen, his Twitter name. I'm thinking we might see at WrestleMania an unsanctioned, you can't see my air quotes here, unsanctioned match with Steen, El Generico, American Dragon, and Shane McMahon.
Dude. See, and you know what? I'd be down with that. So they fired them officially on SmackDown, you said, right?
Yeah, well, storyline, yes.
No, they're out on their ass right now. They've been in the unemployment line all day. He's already changed his name back to Steen. But, so yeah, they fire them. Yeah, and you know what's weird is, on Raw, this past Raw, and you know, it's we don't know what's gonna happen next week. Maybe this podcast comes out and it's totally obsolete.
Yeah,
but
true.
You know, Miz calls out Tyler Black and Prince Devitt. But you know, Prince Devitt, so they're calling out basically Finn Balor and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I wonder why is this now use of their indie names coming back?
I don't know, but I mean, I like it. I feel like they have to embrace this at some point.
What about a faction, you think?
Oh, man. Wow.
Like an indie wrestler faction.
What if, this would make a lot of sense too, Daniel Bryan could turn on Shane at WrestleMania and that ROH faction is there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's already there.
He just changes his name to Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
Bryan Danielson, Steen and Generico.
I want to see El Generico so bad.
Dude, did you ever see whenever the Drifter, Elias Samson lost his match, his Loser Leaves NXT match, mm-hmm. and he came back to fight in a mask as El Vagabondo?
Yeah.
I would love to see Zayn come back as an El Generico character.
It'd be so good.
Dude, Elias Samson, now there's a guy that WWE is just shooting to the moon.
Yeah,
by
but
the way.
They're having him like just get destroyed by Braun every week.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll take it.
Yeah,
could be worse.
Elias, dude. Have you ever watched that Ride Along show?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the one with...
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Elias was hilarious, yeah. Dude. And
then the Bullet Club were on the with the other one, dude. I love Gallows and Anderson.
They've been doing the ride-along really well, where they'll do like one serious ride-along, and then the other one is like the work, the guy's in, you know, total character.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, they're killing it. So yeah, Daniel Bryan back. Don't mean to get off topic. There's just so much to talk about when it's wrestling.
Yeah.
It's rosters of hundreds of people, you know what I'm saying? So and everybody's awesome and some of people like really suck. So
yeah, what match are you not looking forward to at WrestleMania?
Oh man, what do I have to choose from here? I mean, there's so many.
I would say lower for me is like the Rousey match.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm interested to see what Ronda Rousey can do.
Okay. I am, but that's not like what that match is even about.
Yeah,
that's going to be a Triple H Kurt Angle match with some Rousey spots.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she's gonna be the one that everybody's got their eye on. And but I think though, okay, she's an athlete that is very disciplined. You have to be very disciplined to be an Ultimate Fighter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, even a silver medalist in judo, like the only American to medal in judo.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
a lot of people are coming in and just being like, man, she's going to suck. She's going to be garbage. She's going to be terrible. So. I don't think so either. And a prime example too is like somebody like Shayna Baszler, right? Shayna Baszler, also one of the four horsewomen of MMA, didn't reach the levels of Ronda Rousey. And she's killing it in NXT
right
now.
Shayna Baszler was like top 10 for over a decade in women's fighting. So, yeah,
but she's
awesome.
Number one like the Rouse dog.
No
so
doubt.
So imagine if, you know, if she put all that sort of discipline
into... And what about that Shayna Baszler-Ronda Rousey match when that happens? I mean, that's like a dream match.
Or whenever they team up to go against the four horsewomen of WWE.
That's another thing, yeah.
So...
There's a lot of... One thing I was thinking about with Daniel Bryan being back is the dream matches that you can have.
Absolutely. Him and AJ Styles.
Nakamura.
Him and Nakamura.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's even went on record. You can look up YouTube videos of him years ago when he was, you know, before.
Saying Nakamura was his number one. Yeah.
Being like, this would be my dream match. Some guy named Shinsuke Nakamura that was not on your radar back in the day.
Also, Daniel Bryan versus The Miz, I would really be
love
excited
to see.
About. Yeah.
And it's so funny. I text you today and I was like, The Miz can do no wrong. And then I just literally was like, I never thought that I would ever say that.
But he can't right now. He's great.
You know, and if you were to ask me 2 years ago about The Miz, I'd be like, dude, The Miz fucking sucks.
That was one of the things when I first got back into wrestling. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Why is he here right now?
Yeah. He's so lame and he's such a dork. Dude, I had this idea for The Miz. Wrestling fans, you're about to hear my idea, my dream booking, as wrestling fans like to do. But I always thought it would be great if The Miz... Do you remember back in the day? So you watch wrestling in like 89, 90, 91. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they would do like the post-match little embarrassments?
What do you mean by embarrassments?
So like Million Dollar Man would like have Virgil... flick out a few like $100 bills and he would shove it in his opponent's mouth.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or the Undertaker used to put people in body bags.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. I think it would be
Spray painting people's backs.
Yeah, spray paint. Exactly. You know, Rick Martel would just spray the arrogance on his
the
opponent.
Snake, man. Jake the Snake.
Exactly. Yeah. The snake getting thrown on somebody. I think The Miz should sign an 8x10 headshot like Johnny
drop
Cage.
Drop it on them.
And drop it on them.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2.
That'd be good, dude. That would
perfect.
Be good.
WWE, you're listening right now. I guarantee it. It's WrestleMania weekend. You're probably trying to get all the publicity you can get.
The putting money in their mouth is something that every created character I've ever made on wrestling games does at the end of a match.
Dude, whenever you play wrestling games, do you ever... I find that I always spend more time I'll spend hours creating a wrestler and getting their outfits and stuff done and like making it look as cool as possible and then never give them a moveset.
No, actually,
I can't be bothered with this moveset. Better use Stone Cold's.
Well, yeah. So I would, you know, they have like created movesets.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can Google and the movesets will be like some generic name like moveset 12. But if you Google it, it'll be like some classic wrestler's moveset.
Right.
So I'll take like a classic wrestler that I kind of want him to wrestle like, and then I'll find a new finisher and signature for him, and that's it. That's
exactly.
All I
gotta do. Yeah. That's what I always do.
You tweak it as you go, but honestly, I got so sick of wrestling games because they don't go anywhere.
Right.
There's nowhere to go with it.
If you own one, You own them all.
Yeah.
Except for No Mercy.
No Mercy's the standout for sure.
Or WrestleMania 2000. One of those two. They're the same game.
No Mercy's better.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, updated roster. Gotta love that.
Diggity.
Diggity dog. Burn, burn, burn. Socko.
The Rock says.
The Rock says, know your damn role. Socko. Yeah, this is what the podcast has turned into. It started out as a wrestling podcast. Now it's just two dudes scatting the main credits to No Mercy. But yeah, I would say, you know, in as far as WrestleMania goes, I'm excited to see what Ronda Rousey's up to. And I'm excited to see what Daniel Bryan's going to be up to. Really, the big match for me that I would say I'm looking forward to the least is Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns.
The least?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the least.
I think, you know, I think they're trying to swerve us saying that Brock is trying to go to the UFC. There's no way he's going back to the UFC, dude. He's like 46 years old or something.
Right. And my thing is really I have no investment in either character, so
yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. Do I want Roman Reigns to win? Like, no, I'm not super into the Roman Reigns character, but do I want to have Brock Lesnar win and then never see him in any other pay-per-views hardly?
I don't mind that.
I don't know. I kind of
Hulk Hogan didn't wrestle at every show. Yeah,
that's true.
You know, it's just a different, we're like, I like, and this is probably what's going to happen with Daniel Bryan,
brother,
too.
I'm sure the Hulkster wrestled at every show.
I think, like, this is probably going to happen with Daniel Bryan, too. Like, the limited schedule makes me want to see them more.
Yeah, that's true.
Rather than, like, Roman Reigns getting shoved down my face every week. It's like the McMahons did that when they were opening every show for 2 years, like 2 years ago or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, people just got sick of them. They had to leave for a while. I think it's good. It's good to be gone and not be at every pay-per-view. He's making, if they have done this storyline right or had like Braun versus Brock at WrestleMania or Finn Balor versus Rock at WrestleMania, I think I would be super excited and Brock being at WrestleMania would be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Than it is with a Roman Brock match that we've already seen.
Yeah. What's Finn Balor up to for WrestleMania?
Oh, dude, it's going to be Finn, Seth Rollins, and The Miz.
Oh, triple threat?
Yeah.
IC title?
Yeah, man.
That's going to be a good one.
That's going to be like a Matt classic.
That's going to be a Matt classic. Here's some wrestlers that I'm not into on my list of WWE wrestlers that I'm super not into anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Dean Ambrose. Number two,
well, he's not even
Seth Rollins.
Really?
Dude, it's a 1-2 punch. I can't stand him. It's bad because I'm just like, it's bad that I like Roman the best, and I don't even like Roman that
well,
much.
Here's the problem with Seth Rollins. If he's a bad guy,
he's awesome.
He's awesome.
As a good guy, he's no bueno.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, too, now that both Finn Balor and AJ Styles are on the main roster, Seth Rollins, you see where Seth Rollins has kind of lifted his moveset from over the years.
Exactly,
too.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of his uniqueness and his specialness has kind of waned on
then,
me as well.
Like now, or then he started stealing his finisher from Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
We'll do the V-trigger. Oh, great.
Yeah. I still like Seth. I still think he's great in the ring. I just want to see him be a bad guy again.
That would be nice.
Dean Ambrose, whatever. The guys I don't care for is that entire United States title scene with Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, and Jinder Mahal.
You not into Bobby Roode?
Well, not as a good guy.
Yeah, that's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. This guy's coming out talking about how glorious he is and how beautiful he is, and he has these shiny robes and stuff. How is he a good guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's not.
And that's so weird to me because I watch all the pay-per-views. So, guys, if it seems like I don't know what I'm talking about, it's because I'm not as big of a fan maybe as you are, but I am a huge fan.
Yeah.
And my thing is like, dude, that's a lot of wrestling to watch every week.
That's too much.
So a lot of times I watch clips of Raw, clips of SmackDown. I will watch NXT every week, and I will watch every pay-per-view.
So I watch Hulu.
You get the 90-minute abridged
version. Get the 90-minute
version.
Raw, but I watch it passively while I'm like getting ready for other things. But, you know, I make sure I see what I want to see out of it or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll always miss out on whatever Titus O'Neil's doing. They cut it out every time.
Dude, yeah, imagine that. I feel bad. I'll tell you a wrestler that just really does nothing for me is Apollo Crews.
Yeah, he does nothing for me.
And
he smiles too much.
I was like, man, this is a great athlete. When I saw him in NXT and stuff, I was like, this guy's a great athlete, but they're not doing anything with him. And
he's a great athlete. There's literally nothing else there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know who I think they should put him with? Is Cedric Alexander from 205 Live.
Oh, that'd be great.
They make a great tag team. They're both high-flying.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that.
They do share common characteristics physically.
Wrestling does that all the time.
Yeah, they do. Because now, like, Tozawa and Hideo Itami are a tag team.
Or even Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do that.
I don't know either. The New Day.
The New Day, yeah.
You know, the Usos. They're brothers, but also Samoan. You know? But I'm saying, like...
The Bludgeon Brothers.
The Bludgeon Brothers, yes. Big white men with beards. Big brawny men. Yeah, they should get Braun Strowman in there too, right?
Oh, my God.
Just kidding, Wyatt family. Already did it, guys. It's already happened. But yeah, like somebody like Cedric Alexander, they could be like a high-flying team, and it'd be exciting to watch, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the Rockers were fun to watch because they're a high-flying team, you know?
That's true, man. They would be, I mean... Cedric Alexander can really go. He's facing...
And Apollo Crews is really strong on top of it, too.
That's true, yeah.
You know, it would... Power and glory, man. Hercules and Paul Roma, man, baby.
If their powers combined, I don't know.
That's true, man.
That would be super interesting. Cedric the Alexander.
Cedric the Entertainer. Cedric the Entertainer is in the 205 Live division.
No, he's facing Mustafa Ali at WrestleMania. That's got to be a pre-show match.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
But it might steal the show because last year, Neville, Austin Aries, pre-show match.
That was last year.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I was there.
It was great.
Yeah, fantastic match.
But it's also the reason that Neville quit the company.
I thought he quit the company because he had to drop the belt to Enzo Amore.
No, he quit because he wasn't getting the royalties from the WrestleMania match because it was on the pre-show.
Did hear about that, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a 1-2 punch. Hey, Neville, we're not going to pay you. Also, go ahead and drop the title to Enzo.
Dude.
A guy who never... I was never into him. And
I thought he was hilarious, but...
I was just never into his wrestling. Obviously, yeah, his in-ring work was...
What wrestling?
Exactly.
He just got beat up.
Have you ever heard Simon Gotch shoot on him?
No, I'm sure that's great.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I suggest you check it out on YouTube, listeners. Google Simon Gotch, Enzo Amore, and he rips that dude apart.
Wow.
Let's see, what else is going down with WrestleMania? Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss.
I'm actually into Nia Jax right now.
I am too.
I'm so surprised because she never, like, I never cared about her in NXT or anything she's done before, but they have me caring now, and it's...
I agree.
I'm like totally impressed with what they've done with that story.
And they did it in no time too. Like they just done it in 2 or 3 weeks.
Alexa Bliss is fantastic.
Magic on the mic.
Yeah, she is.
But I think with Nia Jax,
she can go in the ring too.
I agree.
Yeah,
she's got great skill. Nia Jax though, like I feel like they always made it to where she would lose because she did something like bumbling. Like, I'm going to run full force and accidentally hit the steps when you move away.
Take out the entire, like, what is the
that
wall?
Side wall
the
panel, side you know? Wall.
Like the piece of wall that they have stick out just so you can run through it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I feel like that was like her role. It's like, I'm just going to run head first into the turnbuckle when you move.
But she had a great match with Asuka. Which her match with Asuka in NXT was pretty good too, but it was better this time around.
I agree.
And
then Asuka versus Charlotte. Let's talk about that. Now,
I could see that being the main event too.
Dude, could you believe it? I could believe that as a main event. Yeah. That would be insane. A women's match headlining WrestleMania.
To see that.
And that's a huge match.
The truth is the main event spot doesn't even, like the last match doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't necessarily mean main event, but it means something for the women's match to be in that spot.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. That's definitely something new that they could do. And I think personally, like, so when Asuka won the Rumble for like weeks, they're just like, yeah, she'll be going against Alexa Bliss or going against whoever wins the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying it over and over. I was like, she didn't pick the winner.
For a reason. There's no graphic yet.
Exactly. There is no graphic. And Ronda Rousey came out and all that good sort of thing. But I was like, dude, she is going to fight Charlotte. I have a feeling WWE is just going to give it to us this year. Big time. Like, I feel like WWE...
I love it when they give it to me.
Dude.
They're giving it to us with AJ and Shinsuke, too.
That's what I'm saying. You got AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Asuka and Charlotte, like those two matches right there are main event matches right there.
Yeah.
It's going to blow the roof off the place. And
dude, Asuka Charlotte is going to really steal the show probably. I mean, besides whatever, I mean, it's going to be hard to come on after Daniel Bryan, like the pop that he's going to get. Like I was saying when I got here, like people are going to be crying in that crowd.
It'll be like
Daniel Bryan. I get teared up thinking about Daniel Bryan sometimes because his story's incredible.
That sounds really cool. Yeah. I cry all the time. Why are you crying? Did you cut up some onions? Nah, it's just fighting for my dreams. Just thinking about the old Bry Dog. Hold strong,
you know,
Bry Man.
You know who really makes me like just cry like insanely is Jake the Snake. Yeah. Stories, man.
Dude, Jake the Snake, pick your poison. If you haven't checked it out on DVD, you got to check it out. I feel bad for that,
cry,
dude.
If you need to cry, man, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
That is the one. Some people watch like...
Titanic?
Yeah.
What are you crying about? The end of Titanic? Oh, I'm just watching the end of this. Pick your poison, the Jake the Snake story.
Oh, man, I can't take it.
But yeah, so double, like I said, double whammy, Asuka, Charlotte, and then AJ... Nakamura. Do you think it'll be able to live up to their Wrestle Kingdom 10 match?
I don't know. I think AJ wins, right? Shinsuke won the last one.
Yeah.
I don't think either. Okay, AJ hasn't lost a step.
Shinsuke had to win because AJ left right after
that. Yeah, exactly.
So.
But, like, I think AJ hasn't lost a step at all, but Shinsuke hasn't really done a lot to... get me excited in WWE.
Not in WWE. I think only this is going to be his like coming out party.
His first match with Sami Zayn
was amazing.
Badass.
Yeah, absolutely
and
fantastic.
And then nothing else since then has really like done anything for me. So
I think this will be like his coming out party. I mean, he's going to be at WrestleMania.
I mean, Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble was awesome.
I mean, can you believe, though, WWE had Nakamura and Asuka win the Royal Rumble?
I can't.
I couldn't believe that either. Just because they're Japanese or anything, but these are just two talents that weren't homegrown WWE.
And also, it's like, they're the like indie darlings that, you know, people were excited about before they were ever had anything to do with WWE. So, right. Like, guys like me that watch like New Japan a lot and stuff, we're like excited about Shinsuke. We never thought WWE would ever give him a chance like at winning the Rumble. Winning the Rumble is a big deal.
That was a huge deal.
Yeah.
So I think Nakamura is gonna. They're gonna put on match of the century. Maybe. I mean, the thing is AJ Styles never has a bad match with anybody.
Shinsuke, it just seems like he's been phoning it in.
I kind of would agree with you as well. But I mean, Nakamura having a match, an Americanized match with say. Dolph Ziggler,
oh god,
you know, or have an American. You know, he had a great match with Rusev. I thought last pay-per-view.
Oh, that match was great, actually.
You know,
yeah.
So Nakamura is kind of on an upswing in the last couple pay-per-view outings, and I think he'll just deliver it 150%.
I think so. One. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I forgot how good that Rusev match was.
Yeah,
I hope they. I mean, dude, if anybody could tear the house down that night, in fact, if they're going to put something on after Daniel Bryan. After that Daniel Bryan match, it's got to be that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what else could bring the crowd back after that. Maybe Charlotte.
I would hate to see them in that slot, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, where people get but so high energy and then they're low energy for Charlotte.
Well,
Oscar.
I would feel really bad if they put Nia and Alexa after that.
I think that they should put the... Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal right after that. Just kidding. The WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. Yeah.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
I'm sure those will both be pre-show.
Are they doing the Andre the Giant?
They're doing them both, yeah.
God.
Just like, hey, guys, you worked hard all year. Everybody's going to WrestleMania this year.
And here's the rest of our roster.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think's going to win it? Mojo? I mean, Mojo won it last year. You know, the Revival is in it this year.
How do you feel? Man, they're really messing up with those guys, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Revival, one of the greatest of all time.
How do you feel about Mojo, though?
Honestly, I always hated Mojo Rawley, and I hated him a shitload in NXT when he was doing, like, the Hammer Time elbow drop.
I love it.
And then I watched Breaking Ground.
Oh yeah,
that little behind the scenes of NXT documentary that's on.
Is that where he was hanging out with that kid? Like,
yeah, and yeah. This kid comes to NXT,
yeah.
And this kid shows him his report card, and he was like, "I told him that if he gets all A's on his report card, and he brings his grades up, like whatever," and he just like gives this kid all this merch, and the whole crowd is like clapping for this kid, and then like after I saw that, I was like, damn it, you made me like Mojo Rawley. And ever since then, I've been like, go Mojo. Like, come whatever on, you do.
Go Mojo. Yeah,
exactly. Whatever he does, I'm like, you know what? I'm behind you, brother.
I'm behind him.
You're nice to a kid.
I think there's something there.
I agree. And that punch, his finisher, that running punch is awesome.
I also like his Stinger Splash.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I like what he does.
I don't know what they're going to do, you know.
I think they bring in Gronkowski, and it's a tag team, and they're going to blow up.
Dude. They'll go against Ronda Rousey. You know, they'll just go against any other celebrity. They'll go against Bam Bam Bigelow and Lawrence Taylor. They'll bring in Karl Malone and DDP.
You just reminded me. You know what I'm least excited about at WrestleMania this year?
What?
The Kid Rock performance that we're going to have to sit through.
Oh, bro. That's what I'm most pumped for, dude. He's going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, man, what a joke.
What a joke
of a Hall of Fame class, really.
I don't
Besides
know.
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry and the Dudley Boys.
The Dudley Boys are legit, yeah.
And somebody else that was like Hillbilly Jim going in this year.
I mean, I like
Hillbilly. Super likable guy, Hillbilly Jim. Okay. I always liked him as a kid.
I love Hillbilly Jim. I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame. But as a total class, I even like Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah,
I just there's not that like thing. There's not that one there.
Jeff Jarrett's just. I think Jim Cornette or somebody talked about Jeff Jarrett and has wrestled in front of millions of people and has never drawn a single ticket in his life. Yeah. And that's how I feel about Jeff Jarrett. Like he's fine. Like he's a fine wrestler. But
you know what? As a child, or I guess a teenager, or whatever, I hated Jeff Jarrett, and I thought it was because he sucked and like he looked stupid and stuff. But now I realize. Oh, it's because that's what he wanted.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he was doing his job.
You know, I like Jeff Jarrett whenever he was in USWA back in the day. You know what I'm saying? You go to the Louisville Gardens on a Tuesday, and you can see Jeff Jarrett and Bill Dundee and Too Sexy Brian Christopher and Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler's fighting Bill Dundee in the main event, and then PG-13 is going against the Moondogs. But dude,
The Moon Dogs.
Here's a true story. Jeff Jarrett wrestled at the arena, which is right here in down the street from me in Jeffersonville.
Mm-hmm.
So literally 5 minutes away, tickets were $10, and I didn't go. Like literally, that is to me that's Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett at a price that I could afford. Came just as a spitting distance
walking distance from your house,
and I didn't go.
That's amazing. Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett.
And guess what? If that happened tomorrow, I probably still wouldn't go. Like, he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, and then he comes to the arena, and they're like, "Yeah, dude, we're doing autograph signings, and it's just $10 to get in." I'll be like, "I'm good,
yeah,
thanks."
Well, hey. I used to feel that way, but I listen to the Bruce Pritchard. I listen to a lot of the Bruce Pritchard podcasts.
You're a big Bruce Pritchard mark.
I am a big mark for anything Conrad Thompson does, really, because I like Tony Schiavone's podcast, too. But I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
But anyways, so the one that they did on Jeff Jarrett was, like, just really shed a new light on him. And, like, if you go back and watch some of his promos from those early days when he's doing the laugh and the JEFFJARRETT. What, you know, it's just like stupid, but it's funny. Yeah. I get it now
double
more than
J.
Double J, yeah.
I just, you know, the only time I ever liked Jeff Jarrett, guys, this is a shit story, but the only time I ever liked him and I actually cared about Jeff Jarrett was on that Raw show after Owen Hart died and he was crying really hard. And I was like, man, I feel really bad for this guy.
Yeah.
And then other than that, like the next week, I'm just like, dry it up, pussy.
Oh, man.
Smash that guitar over X-Pac's fucking face and let's get on with it.
Oh, man, the guitar that said, don't pee me off.
Don't. Dude, remember in WCW when he had that run and he's just like, something he called everybody slap nuts?
Was that at the same time when Mr. Perfect was like a country singer?
Oh, man. Maybe a little.
Rap is crap.
Maybe. I would say, I mean, it's obviously late 90s, last days of WCW.
Yeah, it was bad.
The last gasp. So, I'm trying to think of some other stuff that I know for sure is going down at WrestleMania. We've got the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We've got the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
How about I pull up the card?
Dude, wouldn't it be professional of us if we actually had this, you know, in like front of our faces?
Some kind of plan. We could consult some kind of knowledge in the sky.
Yeah. Like, I wish I had a computer just, like, in my pocket that I could also make phone calls with.
Okay, let's see.
And then we've got Alexa Nia. We've got AJ, Shinsuke, Asuka, Charlotte, we may Braun. Have
been, well, this is the worst website I've ever been to.
Brock and Roman. Braun and... what's Braun doing? He's going in that tag
Braun
team tournament.
Braun is fighting for the tag titles. That's awesome.
Against the Bar.
Yeah.
We are the Bar.
Also, the Bar is pretty lame, too.
Man, I like their in-ring work. I like them better together than I have in a long time. But
what are they? What is
dude,
that?
Dude, they wear kilts.
They wear camouflage kilts and like...
And, you know, military jackets, dude.
Yeah, I don't...
What do you mean?
So I think we've hit all the matches. Undertaker, John Cena.
Oh, Undertaker, John Cena. Now, this is a great segue. Had I, you know, utilized this just a few minutes ago, Kid Rock is going to be there, guys.
Yeah.
And then Undertaker and John Cena. And why I say that, I'm sure everybody on the internet has thought about it. I thought I was cool just thinking. Like,
and I was like, yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah, actually, everybody thinks that. But, dude, I think we're going to see the American badass Undertaker
I think it's Cena. 100%. I think it's... kind of a shame.
Undertaker's last match, Kid Rock is just playing you in, brother. Huge American flag waving off your Harley.
Here's the thought behind it, I guess. You know, he retired that hat or whatever. The
hat.
He retired the dead man Undertaker gimmick last year. This year, we're going to see the retirement of Mark Calloway. Like, we're going to actually get to think him for his years of wrestling. We might get a retirement speech. Who knows? You know,
is he in the Hall of Fame?
We need to look that up.
You know,
I
certainly
was
I would think that
here,
he
yeah.
is. And if he's not, this would be a primo time to put him in the Hall of Fame. You know,
he might wrestle again next year.
He might wrestle forever, but still Ric Flair will wrestle. And every once in a while or something, you know, or, you know, people that have been in the Hall of Fame for a long time, people always come back.
But he's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
He's not, man. No. Maybe this is the year. Because they got to have somebody bigger than Mark Henry, certainly, for
there's
the Hall of Fame.
There's nobody bigger than Mark Henry except for the Big Show and Andre the Giant.
I'm saying celebrity-wise, they have to have a bigger star power for the Hall of Fame than just Mark Henry, certainly.
Kid Rock.
That's true, man.
He is the celebrity.
There's going to be two hits, me hitting you and Ba with a Ba playing in the background, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, yeah, I don't know. The one match, well, I want to say this. I was at WrestleMania last year, like I said earlier, and during the Undertaker Roman Reigns match, I actually left the building because I knew what was going to happen with Roman Reigns, you know, Superman punch spear or whatever, and like,
but he did it twice, dude.
But here's the other thing: is like they were like. Trying to lift each other up and falling down and all this crap. It was really bad. Apparently, Undertaker had hip problems and stuff. But I'm excited to see Undertaker John Cena. I think John Cena can actually give him a good match.
And work a similar pace.
Work
and
a
tell
good pace,
a good story.
Tell a story. Actually tell a story.
And be strong enough to pick that dude up in any position that needs to be so he can gingerly slam
him. I love
him.
A man who can pick a dude up in any position
in any
needs
position.
To be.
Dude, he's got him in a reverse cowboy.
And now we're getting down to the heart of why I like wrestling.
These guys are just a sweating in their tights. But yeah, guys, that's WrestleMania for you.
Well, there's one more match we missed. It's probably going to be pre-show too, but Usos, New Day, Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, yeah. And Usos New Day on fire.
Yeah.
On fire.
That the way the Bludgeon Brothers came in at the end of Fastlane, at the end of that match at Fastlane, I was pumped about it.
See, Luke Harper to me is easily the most underrated talent in WWE.
Dude, he's awesome.
Love Luke Harper. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't break him out a little harder as like a singles competitor, especially when
I think he got hurt though too.
Yeah. But I mean, he would be perfect for somebody in the IC title or even US title.
Do you remember when SmackDown first became its own brand and they had him in like Fatal 4-Ways for the world title and stuff?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It was awesome.
I mean, he held the belt. He beat Dolph Ziggler a couple years ago for the IC championship.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, he he can do it, and he's great. And now he's in killer shape, too.
Mm-hmm.
They put him in the Bludgeon Brothers.
He's also in this new movie called Mohawk.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that about? Is it a WWE film?
Probably. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's about it's a Native American story. That's really all I know.
Mm.
Some kind of... I don't know. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try.
It's called Mohawk.
I know. I'm not going to try to explain it.
Is Tatanka in it also?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to tell you
that
a story.
That pinball machine at yes, Rec Bar.
At Rec Bar. The Royal Rumble pinball machine with Tatanka.
Oh, I didn't tell you, dude. I placed on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm sixth on the Royal Rumble pinball machine now.
Guys,
so.
Go to Rec Bar.
Look for JCH.
JCH in the house, number six. But, dude, I love that pinball machine because it's just like Macho Man almost the whole time just going, yeah.
yeah.
And it's just like shaking every other machine. I got to tell you a fun story about Tatanka, okay? As we, I don't know where you want to go from here. Maybe we'll do a part two if you want to. We're 57 minutes into it. If not, we're just going to have an awesome
part
one.
Yeah, why don't we do a part two?
Yeah, because we still have to talk about NXT TakeOver.
Yeah.
So, but to
It's all right.
But to wrap up a nice WWE, we'll do all NXT related stuff on the next podcast. How about that? We'll do that.
Okay. Yeah.
It is WrestleMania month. We can do whatever we want.
We can even talk Cody and Kenny.
Yeah, that's true. We absolutely can.
Mm-hmm.
But to just kind of wrap up here, I want to tell you a story. So when I was a kid, I had a tape of Superstars, All-American Wrestling, some sort of Saturday or Sunday morning wrestling show, Mania. But Tatanka is cutting this promo, and he's outside, and he's by.
I've never heard that sentence in my life. Tatanka is cutting this promo.
Basically, he's just talking to a camera, guys, if you don't know what cutting a promo is. But he's just talking, and he's
nobody
like,
listening right now is not a wrestling fan.
At this point, 1 hour in.
I've been trying to say good guy and bad guy the whole time.
Yeah.
No, not anymore.
Face and heel, guys. So Tatanka's totes face, and he's cutting this promo, and he's by this babbling brook, right? And he's talking about this strength of all the Braves of his native ancestors and how
like Luke Harper.
Yeah, exactly. And how his strength will be, you know, like water that can break down, you know, barriers and be whatever. And you know, he's given this like inspirational type of, you know, promo
mumbo
speech.
Jumbo.
And then he hits him with that Tatanka call. Go ahead and give it to me.
Yeah.
The rebel yell.
And he's got his arms up in the air and he's like doing that rebel yell. And then in the background, I swear to God, as it was fading down, you just hear this guy go, "Shut up, I'm trying to fish."
Oh, man.
True story, guys.
That's amazing.
If anybody out there at this point has ever seen that, link me on YouTube. I would love to see. It's just like one of those memories you have being 8 years old. But it's just like, "Shut up, I'm trying to fish." But yes.
Oh, man.
So that winds up our first part here.
Yeah.
Guys, if you like what you heard and you're tuning in from Never Nervous, I'm Sean Thriller Smith from the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And you can check out all my stuff at SeanVsWild.com. It's also on iTunes, Spotify, and, you know, wherever else you get your podcast, Stitcher, and all that good stuff.
You can check me out on NeverNervous.com. Me and my buddy Phil and Sid, we kind of do that thing together. We cover a bunch of music, and I'm starting to cover a lot more wrestling. So obviously, at this point, you're into wrestling.
Yeah, if you weren't before, you totes are now.
If it's related to Louisville and it's wrestling, I'm definitely going to cover that. Also, you can find me on Instagram as snake_tut, and Twitter is snaketut. That's SnakeTut.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we got to sit down for part one.
Oh, and hey, listen to my band, Frederick the Younger.
There you go.
I forgot about that.
Jake's in a band, Frederick the Younger. Guys, if you're coming from the Never Nervous podcast, you know all about Jake. And if you're coming from Sean versus Wild, yeah, Jake is in Frederick the Younger. And if you want to know more about them, they have done a podcast with me. So
there
make
you
sure
go.
You give that a listen. Go back to the back catalog, guys. Let me shamelessly promote my catalog across two platforms.
Hey, go back to in the Never Nervous catalog and listen to Sean.
Listen to me on there circa 2004. work talking about getting right back into wrestling. So we're just picking up where we left off on that one. But yeah, guys, well, hey, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Sean.
This is Jake.
And you're listening to
the Never Nervous Podcast
and the Sean versus Wild Podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.